Welcome, everyone. Welcome this evening. So I get back on track here with the talks for the series on birthing the heart. And it's along the line of what I was speaking about last week when I was talking about the book. Terms of awakening, because to birth the heart is to awaken, forever to awaken, forever to grow in consciousness, forever to expand the field of our awareness. And we're constantly needing to be reminded on where we are stuck or frozen within that process, and to constantly encourage the move forward to expanding and to constantly looking and to seeing where it is that we're fixed, where it is that we are fixated. And so this series is about the ways that we get fixated, but also the ways that we can feel the breath of the heart when it is breathing in a normal pattern. And tonight I want to talk about appreciation, because I think that appreciation is probably the first indicator that our heart is truly awakening. And before I get going with the talk formally, I'd like to just read a little account of a hospice patient that I wrote in my first book some 15 years ago. A 47-year-old hospice patient looked out of her window at the ocean, glistening in the morning sun. After quietly observing the view for a long time, she finally said, "Having grown up in this house, I have seen the sun shine on the water many times, but I have never appreciated it as I do now. Seeing it like this brings me a great deal of joy." I remember that exchange very clearly, because it was a beautiful home, and in fact it was right on the east coast overlooking the ocean. And I remember being amazed that she hadn't lived with the beauty that had surrounded her when she was making that statement, because it was such a beautiful home. And I saw that the impact of her own dying had upon her ability to steady her attention, to just be quiet and to realize what was in front of her. And that if she weren't dying, there is very little chance that she would have given herself that pause, that quieting that was necessary for her to really take in what that moment contained. And I began to contemplate about the nature of our willingness to pause in our life. There's a compelling need for most of us to sort of keep moving at the expense of whatever it is that might be happening, because somehow in movement we feel a certain traction, a certain influence on our life that's meaningful and purposeful. And it's through that movement that we allow ourselves to sort of gather the momentum of me and what I'm all about in the world. And when we pause deliberately, in some ways that's drained out of us. But what is drained into us, what comes in with that wave moving out, what the wave that comes in to fill that void, is that sense of complete relationship that's there within that pause, that there is a moment in which life is acknowledged, and that we are tied within that intimacy. Now, it's interesting, I think, because I want to speak a little bit about Easter being this coming week, because there are really two days of Easter that really acknowledge two different movements. One is the absence of movement that I just spoke about in terms of appreciation and pause, and the other is the reaction, which is the Friday of Easter. The Friday of Easter is a holiday of itself, but it's a holiday of turbulence, isn't it? It's a holiday of struggle. It's a holiday of grief. It's a holiday in which life has been lost, and something has been drained away, something has been taken away from us. And there is a sense of absence. And then there is Easter, which is the resurrection, which is the reconnecting to life in its full glory, you might say. And I find it very interesting that, according to the legend, Jesus died on Friday and then waited 2 days to resurrect. Now, if it's within his power to resurrect, he could have done it Friday night, for that matter, couldn't he? But what was the point of the waiting of those 2 days, you see? What was he trying to say to us? Between the grief, the outpouring of tears, the struggle, the lamentation, the woe that I'm sure was very apparent during that time, and then the light and the joy and the fullness of the resurrection, what was the point of that 2 days? Well, perhaps it was to show us where we had mislaid our treasures, where we had forgotten what he was really about. Because it's within those 2 days that the whole world shifts between paradigms. You see? In fact, that is the spiritual journey that he consolidated within that 2 day period of time. And so we meet here wondering what's driving us? What's the mechanism of our own journey? Is it the Friday night? Is it the struggles of our life and we're just trying to have some ease, momentary ease from all that struggle? Just give me a breath or two of air. Is that what meditation does to us? So we still stay within the range of the struggle, of the inevitable conflict. Is our practice about Friday night, Friday, the Friday crucifixion? Or is it about something else? Because if it's about something else, then we have to change in accordance to that something else. It can't be just movement as usual. It can't just be beating our breast in agony, continuing the same themes of our life going forward and expect Sunday morning to arise. This is something that requires more from us than the sameness of how we have operated within the world, of the conditioned ways that we perceive the world. This is about a transformation, a transcendence. And most of us try to do it within the strategies and the conditioning of our old field of knowledge, within what we have always known the world to be, and we'll just kind of move it forward somehow. We don't see that the miscalculation is how we perceive, how we look at things, the very things that we see. We give that as that's a given. The world is divided. Most of us are not willing to change ourselves where we need to change in order to meet the Sunday sunrise. You see, so we're going to make this easy this evening. We're not going to belabor all of the no-selfs and the emptinesses that we talk about so often here. We're going to make this approachable. We're going to make this about appreciation. Appreciating ourselves from Friday until Sunday. Because you can see that the message of this holiday is really the message of that transformation, is the message of something else getting in, of something else accessing us. And when we just lay our experience and weight upon the forms and expressions of forms of the world, then we will always lament the passing of those forms. We will always struggle to have a better formation. But is that the message of Sunday? The Buddha said to bring our own tradition in. He said, incline your mind towards the deathless. So he wasn't talking about Friday, because that was the circumscribed form of death. He was talking about Sunday. He was talking about the resurrection. He was talking about what lies with us that we refuse to completely address. Because it's not that it's not here, it's that we refuse to address it. And then we go off and search for it. Sometimes years or decades we spend having to find the right teacher, the right methods. Everything has to be right in order for us what? In order for us to acknowledge what has been here all along. It's the simple willingness to pause that will show us that transformative occurrence. And what comes in, what's so beautiful about pausing is that there's a shift that one can feel within that pause. I mean, if you pause and think, then the shift doesn't occur, of course, because you're using the same powers that kept you in movement, that kept us in movement, even when you've stopped. So you're not really stopping, you're just on your way to somewhere else, and that's what life is. It's a simple continuation of the same theme going forward. And this moment is an inconvenience, because what I really want to do is move where my mind tells me I need to go. And the mind never tells you that you need to go here, because here eliminates the reason that you move at all. Because the reason you move at all is the purpose of what you are doing and the activities of what you seek. It's the production that the mind is after. And pausing, stopping, doesn't give you any production. It doesn't give you any sense of worth. It may give you a sense of intimacy with beauty, but what good is that? That's not going to go on my resume. Nobody's going to hire me because I paused. And yet everything spiritually is found within that stopping. Everything. Everything changes. If you know how to stop. And if you engage that stopping as your spiritual practice, don't wait until you have been resurrected before you start engaging the pause. Engage it prior to the resurrection. Engage it Saturday morning. We have to stand up to the momentum, to the conditioning that has kept us moving forward. It doesn't stop. The momentum doesn't stop and say, well, I'm done now. You can have your transcendent moment. It moves in order for you not to have your transcendent moment because it needs to keep you within the context, within the blur of your movement. The heart has to decide that it's time to pause. The heart has to, I don't care anymore. Because there are 1,000 reasons why we need to stay moving. And there's only one reason why we need to stop. Take your daily practice as an example. You set the intention that you'll sit every day, and then the dishes need washing. The rug needs vacuuming. You need to take your child to wherever. You need to feed the cat. Which one's out, you see? The moment of unproductive uselessness that the mind says, well, okay, you can do that, but nothing's going to get done. Because from its measure of success, that is not success, that's failure. Or is there, I don't care. You get so tired of hearing the continual same theme of mental duress, of keep moving, keep advancing, keep going forward. Speed up if you can. Keep pushing. Here is a 47-year-old who was dying and realized that she need not push any longer. And for the first time in 47 years in the house that she was raised in, she could finally admit the beauty that surrounded her. What about the beauty that surrounds us? You see, that's the camas lilies. To be willing to have a relationship with life, an ongoing relationship, an abiding relationship with life. And as soon as we do, something amazing occurs. Amazing. If it isn't mentally interpreted. Because if it's mentally interpreted, it's just a moment of... I remember driving across the country when I was young, just out of college actually, and I'm just driving across, first time I'd ever been across the country, and I was coming down from... I don't know where I was coming down from, somewhere, but I passed the Grand Tetons. Yellowstone, I guess, going from Yellowstone to Grand Tetons. And I couldn't, you know, there was Jackson Hole there. And I couldn't, it was a sight that I had never seen. I lived in Ohio my whole life. I'd never seen anything like that. And I didn't know what to do with it. So I kind of waited for somebody to stop in this roadside pull-off so that I could talk to them about what I was seeing. Because that was what I knew how to communicate what I was feeling. And nobody stopped. And I didn't know what to do with the beauty that I was envisioning. So I got back in my car and drove on. I had no way of knowing how to stop. But since I have learned, because when we do so, there's something, as I mentioned, miraculous that occurs. miraculous to the heart. It's the first sign that something true and valid is getting in. It's the first. What happens is that there's a moment of appreciation. Appreciation is not some evaluative comment that the mind is placing upon the conditions that it now sees. It's an expression of the quietness from which it sees. And it can see anything from quiet and appreciate it. That's the difference. It's how we look, not what we look upon. And how many of us, we just move right through that moment, you know? Well, you want to talk about what we just, yeah, well, you know, just like I did. Or you can let it impact. You can just stay there with it. You can feel it tenderize, right? You can feel it working on the system. You can feel it softening. You can feel yourself being swept away. So I said I wasn't going to talk about anatta, and I just did. Because you can't talk about the heart without talking about being swept away. And in our absence is that full blossoming, the full blooming. As I've mentioned here before, on retreat, people will say, I don't know if I have any emotions anymore. I just can't feel them. You know, I don't know. And I don't know what you mean by the heart. I don't know. I said, okay, do you see the dew on that grass? Yeah. Well, let it in. Just stop and let it in. Don't move away, no matter what the mind chatters about it. Don't move from the chatter. Don't let the chatter describe the event. Stay with it until the chatter dies down, because it has nothing more to say about it. It has a limited voice and relationship to it. And then there'll be a moment, likely, in which when the chatter stops, it will truly enter. And that will be your first recognition, perhaps, in a while, of the heart. And then you will have arrived on Sunday morning to find the tomb empty, because you would have been swept away. You, in that moment, have no lifespan. You are not a designee, a delineation. You are the spirit, the sacred. And it's that easily accessed. Why is it that we make it so torturous? Why do we stay moving in relationship to the very thing that's supposed to call us to a halt? Why do we beat our breast and lament that we, where is God? Show, oh my God, tears, oh. That's staying Friday night compact. That's the Friday night movie. Stay forever awake, said Christ, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now I want to talk about the qualities of appreciation. But before I do, I want to just reinforce the fact of engaging these moments of stopping. That's what meditation is, in which you have lost your breath because of the momentum of mind, and you need to catch your breath. And so stopping and meditating is the first willingness to catch your breath. Not to catch your breath so then you can continue to run the marathon, but to catch your breath so you can step out of the race entirely. So engage it. Find times throughout the day when your eyes strike upon something that you know is beautiful, but your mind says you don't have time to witness. And land. No matter what emotion you might be feeling, no matter how hurried you might be prone to be, just land on it. And show the resolve of spirit that you are not going to move. I don't care what the mind says. I'm going to sit here and let this in. And if you need a subject, look at the dew on the grass. And so when we talk about the qualities of appreciation, the first one that comes to my mind is the willingness to let life in. It can't be screened. We have to stop this. We do this step back movement in our ponderance, in our reflection. We consider whether the moment is worth connecting to. We pull back. We reflect. We consider what is in front of us. What are the possibilities here? Should I or should I not? And in so doing, when we decide we're going to actually step in a moment, that moment is long since passed. And the next moment, we have to ponder again as to whether this one is now safe. And none of that will ever show us any sense of appreciation. Ponderance shows us our unresolved quality, our hesitation. And you simply have to let it in. You just have to let it in. It can't be a protection. There can be no protection between ourselves and life. Why do we need protection anyway? What's it going to do? It's just let it in. Just let it in. I mean, I'm not talking about going to the seedy sides of town. I'm not talking about that kind of I'm talking about just letting in the sights and sounds. Just let it in. Without screening it. And then, the second quality of appreciation is to let it out. And we don't get the satisfaction of mulling something over when we simply release it. We kind of like to, let me think about that a little while longer. Let me hold that experience a little bit. Let me just delay the releasing of it. Let me carry that a little bit. Let me just carry it a little bit more. I really liked it. See, we're prolonging it. It's the comet's tail of experience. We want to mull over it. We want to have it with us for a while. And so what do? We romanticize it. Let me write a poem about it. Or a book. But we're not really willing. You see, we want to be three-dimensional. When something comes in, it's got a long way to go before we can let it go, because I'm like, I'm a big guy, you know. It's got to go through 6 feet and whatever width. It's got to go through all this history. Oh, my, you know, I've seen this side before, and you know, back when I was even better then. I mean, it's got to, you know, all of that. You know, that makes me, that sets me up. I know who I am because of how I'm all over experience. And if I just let it in and let it out at the same moment, what would be my, I would be one-dimensional. I wouldn't be pondering the possibilities, and I wouldn't be mulling over the effects. And who wants to be one-dimensional? I mean, that's like, you don't want that in your yearbook. And yet that's what it asks of us. Do you realize that? Doesn't ask for us to be an intermediary, a triage where we send ourselves. Doesn't ask us for to climb some remote mountain of memory. How are we going to be available unless we release? How can appreciation be a continuation? You see? Now we're landed midday Sunday. Not so difficult. It's not so jarring. It isn't even unpleasant. In fact, it's very joyful. The unpleasantness comes in the rumination, and that this experience doesn't meet my expectation. It doesn't come up as, doesn't fit as well as what I had 2 years ago. I was here and damn it, I'm disappointed this time. And how come he's talking about that same thing again? You see, do we want to be awake? It's that close. So releasing. So the third aspect of appreciation is not influencing. That's a hard one because we really have to get out of the way of that. Things are just, when we influence, it's we're perceiving it from the limitation. You see, we're seeing it as something that needs some input. It's not perfect as it is. It needs something for me in order to better it. And so I'm going to influence this situation. I'm going to act upon it in some way. And so whenever I decide to do that, the appreciation element has been dismissed, because appreciation is seen from quietude. It's seen the beauty intrinsic in the quiet. It's the stillness itself. It's seeing from stillness. And seeing from stillness is seeing in a very complete way, in a whole way, in a whole way, as a whole. And nothing is out of place from the whole vision, from the whole perception. And this is where people get very antsy, where questions fly, you know. Well, what do you mean? You know, what about this and what about that? What about Hitler and what about this? So you talk yourself out of the whole. You talk yourself back into Friday night. We talk ourselves back into the struggle, to war, to animosity, to conflict. Because I can't tolerate a world in which X exists. Well, then you won't. And once you don't tolerate that X, you won't also tolerate the rest of the alphabet either. You see? And so, if you're going to talk yourself out, just do so. And continue to struggle. And there's a long, long time between Friday and Sunday. It just so happens that Sunday doesn't deny Friday. But that's for each of us to show ourselves. We always want to be on top of it. We want to have the last say. I was just reading about climate change. I was just reading that this thing could turn around still. I thought it was long since the past of... I thought we were all awash in water here for the next thousands of years. But it turns out that this United Nations group said that, you know, if we do something within the next 15 years, I think, we could turn around. Do you think we're going to do anything? No way. It's not going to happen. The life of our species is at stake. Not going to happen. Isn't that amazing? The guns pointed to our head. Just amazing. So there's a long way from Friday night to Sunday. More than 15 years. That's where the grief really is. That's the real grief. Is the distance we make from it. The fourth quality of appreciation is that nothing needs to be happening in order for appreciation to occur. I was just on retreat in Massachusetts, and more than one of the retreatants just got antsy and restless. And I said, so what do you want to happen? What is it that your energy seems to indicate that needs to happen? Well, you know, something experience should be occurring. I said, no, listen, nothing needs, if you want to wake up to this, nothing needs to be happening. Nothing. See, that's intolerable. How do I feed on that? I can't feed on nothing happening. There's got to be some validation of my movement, some way so that I can claim that my movement has been worthwhile, that all the effort and energy I've evoked has a benefit, and that's through my experience. So that, no, I said, nothing needs to be happening. In fact, add nothing to this experience. and let your heart arise in relationship to it. That's what needs to be happening, is that you're not doing anything in relationship to anything. Nothing needs to occur. That's really aloneness. You see, there's no struggle there. There's all the fight has been taken out of me when nothing needs to be happening. And yet that's the seed, that's the door, that's the opening, that's the validation of appreciation. Do you see that? And the final quality of appreciation, as I've already mentioned, is the seeing of totality. It's non-aligned. We're used to seeing from self-centeredness. That's aligned seeing. That's fixated seeing. That's seeing from desire and fear. That seeing with judgment and evaluation. And appreciation can't come through that. It doesn't, because appreciation by definition is seeing from totality. It's seeing without the center. Beauty arises without the center. The center only judges beauty in relationship to what it knows or defines beauty to be. And that's a past experience based upon what it sees now. And so it's an evaluation of beauty. It's not full beauty. It's not... breath-stopping awe. And so there we are. It gets very quiet, you see. It gets too quiet for most of us. And so then we re-engage our practice to make a little noise, just to have something going for us. Something that we can ride alongside this thing. Check it out from time to time to see if the sacred is safe. Do we want to awaken? I don't know. When we can't choose to even save our species, I don't know. Thank you. Can we sit for a moment or two? See, if you sit quiet enough, there's even beauty within the sitting. It doesn't depend upon certain things arising, certain appearances being present in order for beauty to be there, in order for appreciation. Appreciation is the opening and seeing. And then gratitude is the activity from appreciation. We move in gratitude because of beauty. So we don't have a lot of time for questions, but maybe one or two. If anybody would like to. Maybe we would just like to be quiet. Okay, so let's have announcements.